And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another episode of Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana University basketball news and discussion. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Podcast on the Brink is a joint production of the Assembly Call and Inside the Hall. For complete coverage of IU basketball, visit assemblycall.com and insidethehall.com.
Hi fans, this is Don Fisher, the radio voice of the Indiana Hoosiers. IU football tickets are on sale now for the 2018 season. Indiana hosts 7 home games this fall in newly expanded Memorial Stadium. Don't miss any of the action as the Hoosiers take on the Cardinals of Ball State, the Virginia Cavaliers, and 5 Big Ten opponents, including Michigan State, Iowa, Penn State, Maryland, and the Purdue Boilermakers. For ticket information, visit IUHoosiers.com today. Go IU!
On this week's edition of Podcast on the Brink, Alex Bozich takes a well-deserved and much-needed week off as he prepares for the unrelenting schedule to come, with the basketball season now getting so close. So it is just me with you this week on Podcast on the Brink, and I am joined by Jeremy Gray, the Senior Associate Athletic Director at Indiana. And we typically do a preseason conversation with Jeremy ahead of Hoosier Hysteria to kind of preview what to expect, to talk about what to expect this season. And you know, this year, really one of the themes that Jeremy and I talk about that we hit right off the bat is just the excitement about IU sports in general. There's a lot of good stuff going on, not just the enthusiasm with the basketball team and the football team, but all across IU athletics. So we talk about that. We talk about what to expect with Hoosier Hysteria. And I know that Jeremy's a little bit light on some of the details, but you know, as I was listening to him talk, I kind of thought, you know what, this kind of fits the new era of IU basketball under Archie Miller, which is let's, you know, talk less and let actions speak louder. So definitely a lot to be excited about with Hoosier Hysteria, with the team, with the game day experience. And we talk about a lot of that, including some players that he is really confident are going to have big breakout seasons this year and that IU fans are really going to like. So all of that coming here on this week's edition of Podcast on the Brink. And real quick before we get to that, I want to talk about tickets. You know, this is a big week coming up for the football team, obviously 3-0, facing Michigan State. And if you can get there, if you can find a way to get to Bloomington, get to Memorial Stadium, how cool would it be to be there in person if the Hoosiers can knock off the Spartans, get to 4-0, continue their really strong start to the season? Because sporting events are always more fun, they're more memorable when you're there in person. But we all know that, you know, getting tickets, it can be complicated. It can be kind of a fraught experience online. But that's why SeatGeek is such a great way to go. And that's why I use SeatGeek. Well, I have the app on my phone. And when I need tickets to an event, you know, to a live sporting event, to a concert, anything else, I'm using SeatGeek because SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. And they do that by searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, which immediately helps you to identify the best seats that fit your budget. And the other great thing is that purchases are fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And here's an even better part. Listeners to Podcast on the Brink get $20 off of your first purchase. So all you do is download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code BRINK, B-R-I-N-K, and you will get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Consider using it for tickets to this upcoming IU-Michigan State game or all throughout the rest of the football season and basketball season as well. And remember that promo code BRINK to get $20 back after your first purchase. SeatGeek. Life's an event. We have the tickets. And now, here's my conversation with Jeremy Gray. Jeremy, your Twitter bio describes you as a, quote, passionate fan of all 24 IU sports. I feel like that's a gross understatement.
You know, if aliens landed on Earth and only followed my Twitter account, they'd believe that IU is undefeated in everything. Yeah, no, I'm definitely one who likes going to different events, pulling for our athletes. And, you know, we just had a great weekend. We got 6 W's in different sports. Soccer's ranked 2nd in the country. Women's soccer is 6-1-2, and they've won 6 straight. Then football 3-0, and we're heading into the basketball season where optimism abounds for both the men's and women's programs. So it's a good time to be passionate about all 24 sports, Jared.
Well, and that, you know, what you just said kind of leads me into the first question that I wanted to ask you, you know, before we get into talk about Hoosier Hysteria, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. But You know, I just want to talk about the general feeling around IU sports right now, because I don't, you know, I don't live in Bloomington, so it's not always easy for me to gauge what the general feeling is. But you just mentioned so many of the positive storylines, you know, and there's so many others. You know, Lily King, of course, continues to be a destroyer of worlds. Memorial Stadium has been reborn. The Excellence Academy is, you know, kind of gone from dream to reality. And there are so many more really good storylines, it seems like. Apparently traffic is even better. Am I right in feeling like we're kind of in a really big upswing overall for IU sports right now?
You know, and you don't want to get caught too head of horse, and, you know, everything can always be famous last words, but you hit on a couple of the touch points. I mean, soccer is a bona fide national championship contender. Women's soccer program is rebounding off to a great start to the season. They're 2-0 in conference play. That's a very good thing. I think two very recent hires have got a lot of people excited, and Sean DeStan with our softball team, which had their best conference season in 24 years in her first year, and they play this completely gonzo style, which has been fun to watch. And then we've got a coach unlike any other in volleyball, and he played all of his non-conference games on the road by design. They went 9-2.
Wow.
And, you know, they might take some lumps here in the conference season because the conference is so dominant. But he's already killing it on the recruiting trail, and he is a personality times 10 that's got a lot of people excited. And then I think Jeff Mercer is a phenomenal hire in baseball as well, where there is considerable continuity there. And by any metric, NCAA tournament success, conference victories, conference championships, conference tournament championships, Major League Baseball players produced, it's by far and away the Big Ten's now blue blood baseball program. So you've got that. And then, you know, I just went to the ring ceremony as the sport administrator for swimming and diving as back-to-back Big Ten champs finished third in the NCAA championships. I'm passing out rings to a whole bunch of athletes who are coming back this year, and they might be the favorite to win the NCAA championship. So you got all of that. And then you got the women's team that just won the WNIT, and I think they got a great young nucleus, and they're recruiting really well. And what maybe has people most excited is a 3-0 start by our football program.
Yeah.
And not just a 3-0 start, but just the way they did it. It looks balanced. It looks cohesive. They've got playmakers at different positions. And the best part about it is I'm looking at who made the tackle, and I see sophomore next to his name. I'm looking at who scored the touchdown, and he's got freshman next to his name. It looks sustainable.
Yeah.
And built for success. And then we're heading into a men's basketball season, and for all the talk about Romeo Langford, and I'm sure we will touch on him and many others,
yes,
they might be returning, along with Carson Edwards of Purdue, the best player in the Big Ten Conference, and Juwan Morgan, who also just so happens to be a phenomenal leader. And then Justin Smith, I promise you, is going to be an exciting player to watch. And so men's basketball with a great home schedule this year. Yeah, people are fired up. I mean, you can probably sense in my voice that, like, it seems like every other day we got something cool happening here. So it's a good time to be at IU for sure.
It, you know, it really does. And, you know, you're listing out all those achievements, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, and then, you know, kind of bringing up the rear here, our Moorabbin basketball team that hasn't made the NCAA tournament in 2 years, you know, which, you know, in terms of recent results hasn't been as good. But you're right, the excitement and the enthusiasm is really high right now because of all the guys who are coming back, because of Romeo Langford, because of the gains that I think a lot of fans saw under Archie Miller in his first year. Even if the wins weren't there, you kind of saw the process start to be there. And, you know, I'm sensing more excitement for this Hoosier hysteria than we've had for you know, in a while. I mean, you know, obviously the Hoosier hysteria before the 2012-2013 season was big. What, as we get into talking about Hoosier hysteria now, what are you kind of anticipating or guessing in terms of turnout? Because you have crazies like me who are flying up from Dallas to be there. You know, if that's any indication, I have to imagine that there's going to be a lot of people and a lot of enthusiasm in the building that night.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a ton of enthusiasm. People are pumped up. Everywhere I go, people are talking about the team. And, you know, it's interesting because I work here. I think people think that, like, I respond to all my work emails from basketball practice, so I don't see them all that much. So I'm not an expert on this at all. It's just, you know, the best thing I can say is that there is a clear process. There's a clear plan, and it seems like all the players are on the same page heading into this year. And they're returning a fair share of talent, and then they're adding a great freshman class, a freshman class that's got a ton of personality too. Now, you know, beyond Romeo Langford and his ability, the players play different positions. And, you know, it's just around town, and these seem like small things, but my family hangs out at the IU outdoor pool all summer, and you got all of the freshmen hanging out in the pool, shooting baskets on the water basketball goal with little kids and dunking on each other and having a great time. So you just get a sense that this is a team that gets along. And as far as turnout is concerned, it's an unusual time at 4 o'clock, but I've actually gotten really positive response about it being at 4 o'clock.
I like it.
People are like, yeah, I can get back to Fort Wayne at a reasonable time. Hey, you know, students are like, we can go out to the bars after the, like, we don't have to, you know, it's not impinging on anything else. And then we got a manna from heaven earlier this week, finding out that football plays Rutgers at noon. And so we're going to be able to not have the overlap with football, especially with the team that runs the ball so well. Last week's game ended at 3:05, and we're going to be able to watch the second half of the game on the video board as people are sitting around waiting for it to start. So kind of the pieces are aligning for what I think should be a very healthy turnout to cheer on the Hoosiers. And it's an enormous recruiting weekend for our basketball program as well.
What is in store for fans who are in attendance this year at Hoosier Hysteria, just the event itself?
Well, I want to be, I'm being murky on purpose because I want mystery surrounding the event, but I can tell you this. We budget for Hoosier Hysteria every single year, and the amount we are spending on Hoosier Hysteria to make it a spectacular event, maybe unlike any other event of its kind, is a marked increase over previous years. And I think it is going to be a spectacular and unique show that is very much worth getting to and very much I think it would behoove an IU fan to make sure they are there in their seats by 4 o'clock.
Okay. Well, I will be there. No question about it. That's great. And it will be a shared event with the women's team, correct? Again,
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And what is going to make this a unique and I think spectacular event will also incorporate several elements of our women's basketball program. Who are coming off a great year. And also, I mean, there's going to be, you know, the traditional nuts and bolts of the event itself. They're going to be shooting contests. There's going to be dunking. The coaches are going to address the crowd. And, you know, there's going to be a banner unveiling for the women's basketball program at the beginning of the ceremony that I know a lot of people who follow that spectacular run and really kind of a great story. In a rainy spring last year, got people fired up. So we're going to be unveiling that banner. But it's gonna be a fun event. I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and one of the great things that I think we're doing is we're just not talking much, and people are kind of letting their imaginations run wild. And I think on some level, it's building the anticipation for the event.
Yeah. So you know, one question I've had about Hoosier Hysteria, you know, any event that you're planning, you always kind of have an audience in mind. And what's interesting with Hoosier Hysteria is you kind of have a couple of different audiences. We know that it's obviously an event to get fans excited and kind of build some enthusiasm for the coming season. But we also know how important of an event it is for recruits. And, you know, we've gotten into some, you know, discussions both on Inside the Hall and on the Assembly Call just about, you know, what could be done with Hoosier Hysteria. And, you know, you've got, you know, older people that would like to see just more scrimmaging or, you know, see the guys go through drills. And then it's like, well, yeah, but do recruits want to see that? And this is really a recruiting event. From a planning perspective, when you're kind of thinking about who you're planning this event for, how do you view that? Are you thinking about, okay, we're kind of trying to appeal to the young folks and appeal to the recruits, or, you know, we're trying to appeal more to the older school fans? Are you kind of trying to do a little bit for everybody? How does that thinking kind of go on as you're planning this event?
You know, that's a great question. And it is, I think, the chief thing that we have to grapple with organizing the event. There are some expectations on what the event will be or needs to have from the fan base that I think on some level needs to be serviced. And of the fan base, I think it's really important to note that this is the one event that people who do not have season tickets get to come to every year. And so there is an outsized percentage of fans that this is the one time they're going to come into Assembly Hall that year. So it's a special thing for them. And, you know, that's something that has to be noted. But make no mistake about it. The reason that we actually have this event, along with getting fans fired up for the season, is that there are very few schools that can do it on the scale, as far as a fan base is concerned, that Indiana can. And we see it as a linchpin in recruiting. And if done right, can be a huge advantage in recruiting. And you could probably go through the list of attendees of Hoosier Hysteria before who ended up committing to Indiana. This is something that Indiana can do. Maybe between 10 and 12 other schools in the whole country can do. So it's something that you really have to be cognizant of, you know, what really tall and athletic people between the ages of 15 and 18 would think of the event.
How are the locker room renovations coming along? And are those slated to be done by Hoosier Hysteria?
Again, I want to be murky on the details, but it's going to be really cool. I'm telling you, it's going to be really cool. And I know I'm being a terrible guest for you, but we're actually trying to build anticipation for the event and the season itself. But the locker room will take a backseat to no one.
All right, from everything that we've heard, that is the case. So let's talk about the team a little bit. You know, you started mentioning some names earlier, and you mentioned Justin Smith. I mean, everybody, you know, we know about Juwan and what he brings back to the table. We know about Romeo. Why are you kind of so excited about Justin Smith and what he can do as a sophomore this year?
Well, his athleticism was apparent his freshman year. You also saw, along with the athleticism, a smoothness and a level of coordination that could portend becoming a good shooter with a feel for the game. So in the off season, if Alex Sherrill's terrific videos are to be believed, he's already expanded his athleticism. His vertical leap is just off the charts. And by all accounts, he's starting to knock down deep jump shots too. So it's all starting to kind of round into form. And really, really excited to watch Justin play. And, you know, my little boy went through the camp circuit this year, and I can tell you he's just a really nice guy, too. So I'm really excited to watch Justin develop and play here in his second year in Indiana. But he's got all the tools. He's got the physical makeup to be an NBA basketball player. And it looks like he's putting in the work to make that happen.
Are there any other individual players in particular that you kind of feel are flying under the radar a bit that you think are poised for a breakout this season that people may not be expecting?
Well, I think Fitzner is going to really help. He can knock down shots. Just walking across the court, that's evident. And he's got size. I think he's going to be utilized really well. I think he's somebody to watch. And I don't know how many minutes he's going to get. I don't know. I mean, I genuinely don't have these kind of conversations with the coaching staff. But I can tell you, a big personality who's going to bring effort all the time. Different in physical makeup, of course, and who knows if he'll be as productive. But I mentioned it on Twitter this week, and Forrester, I think, is a player that fans are really going to gravitate toward his attitude on the court. He's got a little bit of that AJ Moye thing about him, you know, where he's going to go all out and he's going to scrap and claw. It's my understanding that Hunter is a really good player as well. Under the radar, it's kind of funny because he was a fan favorite last year, and now people aren't talking about him. McRoberts is going to be a really useful piece again.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I don't know, you just don't hear that much about him, but he's a guy who you can't keep him off the floor. I mean, he's just, he makes plays, he does those extra things, and he is productive, and I think he's a giant pain in the neck to play against, and whenever you do that, there's a place on the floor for you. So I think he's somebody else to watch as well.
We've seen so many improvements to facilities. I mean, you know, across the athletic department, but of course, basketball specifically, Cook Hall, the updates to Simon Scott Assembly Hall, the locker room renovations that we talked about earlier. Is there anything else kind of in the works, kind of on the horizon that is basketball specific that is worth mentioning or even that's able to be mentioned right now? Or is that, you know, just kind of keeping focused on what's in the works right now before looking ahead to anything else?
That's a good question. And the answer that I'll give is I don't know, but I do know this. I think for probably too long of a period of time, there was a thought that you build a facility or you do something and then you just kind of sit on it and kind of claim that it's done. That mentality is no longer the case. So even if it's just updating the wall graphics regularly, they go on the wall, or making something that was already good a little bit better. I think Indiana in recent years is much more committed to that idea than before. So we don't get into the situation where we don't, expand Royer Pool to make it Olympic size when you have Doc Councilman as the head coach and then swimming passes us by. I think those days are over. So we're constantly looking ways for us to upgrade and improve what we already have. But as far as a large scale project, there's not one that I know of that is on the horizon.
I mean, and you've taken care of so many of them. I'm not really sure what it could be anyway right now. In terms of the game day experience at Simon Scott Assembly Hall this year, any notable changes to what's planned there? And again, if you don't want to give that information because you're trying to kind of build the anticipation, that's totally fair. But I figured it's worth asking.
No. I wish I could say something that cool. But in all honesty, and this is going to come off like we're cramming for finals, it's like we knock off the football experience in August, and then we dig in on the basketball experience after the first football game to get that set. So we have not made any final decisions, but there are always things that we are looking to tweak and improve, and we're super excited about the home schedule this year. A lot of great games on the docket. We think that the product on the floor is going to be both good and exciting to watch. And so we anticipate really good crowds at Simon Scott Assembly Hall this year.
One last question for you here to end on, and it's kind of more on a personal level for you, and you even alluded to this earlier. I saw that you got the ring commemorating the back-to-back Big Ten championships by the IU swim and dive team. At least I think that's what your tweet indicated, that you actually received that ring. Is it normal for you to get a ring like that to kind of commemorate championships from the team? And what does something like that mean to you, even just the experience of getting to be part of a ceremony like that?
No, that's really cool. So I am the sport administrator. So every sport at IU and every other school actually has a sport administrator that they report to, who then reports to the athletic director. I'm lucky enough that I've got swimming and diving. And it's always great to do like an annual performance evaluation of your head coach. And you're like, yeah, you're the head coach of the United States diving program. It seems like you're good at your job. So I've got it pretty easy. I've got it pretty easy with swim and dive. But yes, that's actually a very typical thing. That they give support staff rings as well. So the academic advisors, the athletic trainers, the strength coach, those type of people get to join in the celebration. And I think, all of us here have little cases where we kind of gather those things. I think it's a great thing that builds a rapport within a department as well. But I just got lucky that I'm the guy for swim and dive, and they go faster and dive into the water prettier than everybody else. And so it's becoming a matter of routine for them. But it's a very special thing. But it would be really, really nice to get a basketball one here this year.
Yeah, no, that's a heck of a program to be a part of, no question about it. Well, Jeremy, we always appreciate you taking some time for us before the season to just kind of let us know what to look out for, what to expect. And I know everybody's really excited to see Hoosier Hysteria. And Hoosier Hysteria, correct me if I'm wrong, but it can be streamed on the Big Ten Network, correct? For those who are out of market, you just need to sign up for the BTN Plus account, their online account, I believe.
Correct. And I don't want to oversell this product, but I know in 2008, when that first started occurring, and it was before streaming services were widespread and it was through your laptop computer, that it had a lot of hitches and glitches to it. It's a pretty well-run thing right now. So I think even if you can't make it to Hoosier Hysteria, or to Hoosier Hysteria in person, it's very much worth following through the live stream of the event. And I know that the media school and the Cuban Center, they do a really good job of making that a first-class broadcast.
Yep. Very cool. Well, Jeremy, thank you. Look forward to seeing you at Hoosier Hysteria, and hopefully to having a great IU basketball season so they kind of catch up with all the other sports that are doing great for the Hoosiers this year.
Yeah, really optimistic about IU hoops this year. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and it's a good group and very much worthy of fan support this year.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Jeremy, for joining us.
No problem.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. We always appreciate you being here. To get more from me and from Alex, visit assemblycall.com and insidethehall.com for complete coverage of Indiana University basketball. If you liked this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or family member who loves IU basketball as much as you do. You can also support the show by leaving a rating and review on iTunes, which helps us get the word out to more IU fans like yourself. We will be back next week with a new episode. Until then, as always, go Hoosiers.